Chapter 20. Two Faces.
"Who are you?"
Rita demanded. The man in chains who claimed he knew of the Imperium lowered his eyes.
"My name's Yabor. I'm a colonist."
He seemed to calm down now he was able to share what he knew with someone who might actually believe him.
"As I said," Gwen whispered sadly.
A furtive look at the man, she said, was her husband.
"Madness. I had to chain him down here, keep him hidden. If the Vizier ever found out..."
Rita glared at her as if she'd just stabbed at a nerve. Her own soldier's instincts were suddenly firing off a warning.
"What's the Vizier got to do with any of this? He advised the Baron to use this place to imprison anyone ever stricken by the malady."
Now, Rita turned on her.
"Please," said the man, raising his eyes. "She didn't know. None of them know. They had no choice."
"What's the malady?" she asked Quen, who looked from Rita to her husband and back again. She seemed confused, afraid.
"There have been people, citizens, that would say or do things. Insane things."
"What things?"
"About the Emperor. The throne," said the man. "The Imperium."
Quen snapped.
"Stop it! Stop saying these things!" "It's true," said Rita.
Quen turned.
"What? You have the malady too?"
Rita seized her by the arms, forcing a grimace onto Quen's face. She struggled initially, but Rita gripped her firmly and held her angry gaze.
"It's true," she repeated. "The Imperium, the Emperor, the sky ships, it's all real. There is no land called McCrag. It's a world, one of several, in a galactic realm called Ultramar. We did not travel here across the wilds or over the ocean. We came in a ship. A star ship. We call it the Void. A great dark sea of stars. I don't expect you to take this in straight away, but I think I'm starting to understand. You've been manipulated, Quen. I don't know how or why, but ever since we've arrived, something has been off about this place. You have a single city, and no knowledge of any others. You have a ruler, but no social structure to speak of. You are fighting a war that none of you really remember starting. And you have no damn history. Nothing. No archive, no library. And our language," said Rita, "is the same."
"But you're from the south," said Quen, clinging desperately to anything that made sense.
But Rita could see through the fear, through the abject confusion, that deep down she knew.
"We could speak the same tongue, except I'm not. None of us are. The language you're speaking is called Gothic, and it's the universal tongue of the Imperium, an effort at linguistic hegemony."
"I can't. I don't. This is not..."
She squirmed loose, backing away until her husband held her. She fought him at first, but then settled into his gentle embrace. He murmured something into her ear, something reassuring. She wept then, but stopped fighting it.
"This was, still is, a colony."
The man who had identified himself as Yabor said to Rita,
"Not a large one. We were meant to be agri-farmers, but something changed."
"Changed how?" asked Vanko. Yabor frowned, his face pained.
"I don't exactly know. My memory, there are gaps. I only know that this isn't real. We aren't blacksmiths or farriers or masons. We are colonists and servants of the God Emperor of mankind. But something has been done to us."
"You were afraid they'd kill him to silence him,"
Rita said to Quen.
"Rita?"
Vanko's voice interrupted the interrogation. Rita turned sharply, about to snap at him, when she saw the look on his face.
"You smell that? The foulness on the air," he said.
He was right. The stench had worsened. She'd almost forgotten about it, with Yabor's bizarre confession, but now her attention had been drawn to it again. She realized it had grown so much more potent. She also heard scratching, as of clawed feet treading lightly across the ground, trying not to be heard.
"It's the Greenskins," she realized. "They must have infiltrated the city, got in somehow, and hid out down here until..." "Oh, no. What is it?" asked Quen, pulling from Yabor's arms, still reeling but coping.
"Sicarius and the others. They're gone. Left for the gorge."
She looked down at the chains.
"We've got to get these off."
"We can't release him," Quen said.
"You still don't get it, do you?
None of this is real. It's a falsehood, all of it."
"But what is real are those orcs. They're here, Medicus, in this catacomb. How far do these tunnels run?"
Quen blinked but didn't reply.
"How far?"
Rita demanded.
"Throughout the city, I think. Most have been closed off. Most. Some are still intact."
"Then they're coming. The orcs are coming. That thrice-damned stench is them. Their odour. He's dead if we don't get him loose. Now step the hell back,"
she said to Yabor, who shuffled against the wall.
"They're getting close, Anna," Geralt warned.
"I know, Vanko, but I'm not leaving him."
Rita struck the chain, a solid blow with the maul that bent the lock but didn't break it. She swung again. The scratching sounds coming from deeper in the catacombs were getting louder. After three heavy hits, she broke the lock. With Rita's help, Yabor slid the length of chain through the metal loop on his ankle.
"Do you have any weapons? A lasgun?"
"You can use one?"
"I'm trained as a colonial fusilier, so yes."
"No lasguns."
She showed him the maul.
"This is all we've got."
Yabor gave the solitary weapon a rueful look.
"Then we need to get moving. I'll take her," he said, with a tender glance at Quen.
"What's happening?"
she asked in a quiet voice.
"I don't... None of this makes any sense."
Yabor gently touched her face.
"The bone swine are coming, my love, and we have to go."
Quen nodded, and that was that. Rita only realized she was staring, longing for the same kind of understanding between her and Vanko, when Yabor said,
"We need to move! Now!"
They ran, Rita leading them out as Quen and Geralt helped Yabor, whose stiff legs had atrophied during his incarceration. Behind them, the orcs were closing. They must have realized they had been discovered, for they threw off all caution now, and an echoing chorus of squealing, grunting voices chased Rita and the others through the darkness. Rita only slowed as she passed the cells where the other madmen were still screaming. Yabor was breathing hard, his body not used to the physical exertion, but he looked eager to be away from the old keep.
"They're not far off," he said. "We can't save these men."
"We have to try," said Rita. "Maybe we can..."
"They are safer behind those cell doors than we are in the open," said Geralt. "You saved one, Anna. Let that be enough, or we're all dead."
The orcs had reached the stairs. She could hear them, bellowing and hooting to each other, their heavy feet slapping loudly against the steps.
"Throne, forgive us,"
Rita whispered, and ran on. She cast a glance over her shoulder, just as the orcs burst into the corridor. A host of red eyes glared back. They looked hungry. A light rain was falling and cast a grey pall across the sky as they staggered out of the old keep. It felt cool against her skin after the heat of the catacombs. Rita dragged in a lungful of air. She bellowed a warning, but the streets were near deserted. No soldiers in sight.
"Where the hell is everyone?"
Shutters were closed, doors locked. They were alone and backing away across a muddy square when the first orc emerged, blinking and snorting into the drab dawn. It was alone for now, and at first looked lost but excited, a raider who had just made landfall and was eager for the pillaging to come. It clapped its porcine eyes on Rita, who swung her maul in readiness and pushed out a roar. It looked rangier than the other greenskins, its leathery flesh cross-hatched with numerous scars. A stone axe hung lazily in its grip. Rita noted the edge was notched with blood, and suddenly she understood why the other greenskins had yet to appear. Vanko came to her side, a borrowed sword in hand. "We die together," he said. Pain, anguish, anger, hope. They all warred for supremacy in Rita's heart. She nodded. "Together," and ran at the greenskin. It swung at her, the notched axe cutting the air overhead as Rita ducked and cracked her maul against its leg. Vanko hacked into the orc's side, but the blow did nothing. The beast lashed out with a claw, ripping Vanko's old armour to shreds. Four red lines blossomed against his ragged shirt. He staggered and almost fell. Taking advantage of the brief distraction, Rita hit the orc as hard as she could across the back. She felt something yield to her blow and crack. The orc squealed, turning savagely, saliva flying and a curse spitting from its mouth. Rita didn't see the kick. It was fast, and caught her so unawares that she sprawled back across the mud, tumbling like a drunken clown, the maul flying from her grasp. She saw light, sparks of magnesium flashing at the corners of her eyes, and tasted blood. Someone had set fire to her ribs. Either that, or everything was burning. Lurching onto her front, she regarded the blurred silhouette of the hulking figure lumbering towards her. It took its time, still sniffing and lapping at the air like an animal. It was an animal, acting on instinct, on its desire to kill and eat. She tried to look past it, to see Vanko, to let that be the last thing she saw. But he was gone, lost to the darkness, crowding at the edge of her sight. So she closed her eyes and tried to picture him instead. The other orcs had emerged from the low keep, spilling out into the daylight, eager for killing. She could hear them, even over the heavy breathing of the one that was going to murder her, a cacophony of bestial grunting. And she could smell them, the sourness of stale sweat, the overpowering reek of dung. Strong fingers grabbed a clump of her hair, so roughly they cut her scalp and yanked hard. She thought of Vanko, gladdened by what they shared, however brief it turned out to be.
"I'm sorry, my love."
Its hot breath dampened her cheek, so foul it made her eyes water. Rita gave a shout, a last scream of the promised vengeance she hoped would come in her wake, the final act of her defiance.
"We are McCrag!"
Heart thumping, lungs heaving, skin tingling, bracing for the last pain she would ever feel. So afraid, so very, very afraid at the thought of that thing tearing into her, that Vanko would see her spilled out, red and ragged into the dirt. The fingers tightened, then their grip eased, and something splashed against her face and hair. The hand fell loose. It actually just fell, limpid and dead. Rita opened her eyes and saw the orc's hand shorn clear of its wrist, twitching in its final nerve spasms like a dead spider. Its owner twitched too, the spear lodged in its heart, making it difficult for it to do much of anything else. A shove, and the beast toppled backwards, the stump of its missing hand still fountaining crimson, its blank eyes rolling back in its head.
"Get behind me!"
Pelium's gruff voice possessed an irresistible command that Rita had no choice but to heed. Groaning with the pain, fear slowly bleeding away to reveal the well of hope she had kept deep at the base of her emotions, hope becoming relief and then fear again as she saw the horde they faced alone. Rita crawled backwards. Her hand found Vanko's, and she held it, so tight she thought she would stop the flow of blood. Quen and Yabor had gone, fled into the night. Good for them. Someone should live through this. There was nothing left to do but watch and pray. He stood before them, spear held across his body, a bloody sword in his other hand. Only his legs were armoured, the rest of his body half covered by a layer of dark mesh and wrapped in blood-stained bandages. He placed a boot on the neck of the orc he had just gutted, his spear still slick with its vital fluids. It writhed, dying.
"This is your fate," he told them.